Hi, everyone. We will go ahead and get started here in just a minute. We'll allow you all some time to trickle in.
And Michelle, we think the chat box, we think it's live now. So if it is, then tell us where you're from and maybe what your role is. So I'm from Waco, Texas, and there you go. Maybe your role and where you're from. And be sure you have it set to all panelists and attendees. Oh, here we go. Arkansas. Here's me, a Texas person. There you go. Chicago. Wow. Look at all this. Cooney, Virginia. I can't. Wow. Mississippi. I'm originally from Mississippi, by the way. Arizona. We got a math prof. There we go. Oxnard, California. Virginia. Illinois. Look at this. North Dakota. Central Florida. Knoxville. Minnesota, St. Paul, Minnesota. Ah, there we go. We got another amazing from Minnesota. Be sure you change it to panelists and attendees so attendees can see where you are as well. All right. Oh, we got the Amatic historian here. Yay. Thanks, Chris. Vermont in the building. I love it, in the building. You're in a building somewhere for sure. Arizona, St. Louis, New Jersey, Maryland, Utah. Look at this. Community college. I actually graduated from a community college. It was outstanding experience. Hawaii, all right. San Diego. Look at all these people. Detroit. I was actually on the phone with somebody from Detroit this morning. Oh, first time attendee.
Well, Trina, if you're good, I'll go ahead and introduce you and get us started.
Perfect.
Thanks to everyone for joining. Just so you know, you're in the right place. This is the Engage in Critical Conversations to Create a Vision for Math Education session with Trina Wilkerson. Trina is the current National Council of Teachers of Mathematics, NCTM president, and a mathematics education professor in the Department of Curriculum and Instruction in the School of Education at Baylor University in Waco, Texas. She teaches both graduate and undergraduate mathematics education courses and conducts professional development and research. Trina also taught high school mathematics for 18 years. She has published and presented in multiple state, national, and international venues, and we are thrilled to have her here with us today. Just one little note of housekeeping before I hand it over to Trina. She's going to be doing lots of things to interact with you throughout the session. So there will be interaction that's happening in the chat. But if you have a question for Trina, go ahead and put that in the Q&A, and we'll make sure that we get to your questions and that they don't get lost in the chat. But with that, take it away, Trina.
All right. Thank you. Delighted to be here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to share and get my PowerPoint started. So give me just a minute to get all that. All that organized. Oh, just a minute. Hang on. I need to stop sharing and redo it because I shared the wrong way. All right, we are almost there. And one more second, and then you all can tell me, Michelle, you can tell me if this is correct. So am I correct that you actually see just the PowerPoint?
Yes.
Perfect. Yay. All right. Now I don't have the chat box open. So Michelle, you keep me posted on that. I'll open it in just a minute. So thank you all for being here. I'm looking forward to our conversations. And we will do some interaction. So I appreciate the invitation, Michelle, and the introduction is very kind, and I appreciate that. So I want us to think about conversations we need to be having, and you'll see partnerships as well that we need to think about when we're thinking about mathematics education for the future. So I'm going to do a little background on catalyzing change for just a minute, if you don't mind. If you will tell me what your level of comfort is and understanding of catalyzing change as an NCTM initiative on a scale of 1 to 5. So just pop numbers in, 1 through 5. 5 meaning you know all about it and et cetera. 1 is maybe never heard of it. And then if you are in between, that would be awesome. And I'm going to bring up my chat box so I can see it as well. All right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we've got good deal. So we got lots of ones, but we've got some 2s and 3s. Excellent. Good, good. All right. Well, good, 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 good. We've got a 5 there. Awesome. So Andrew, you can help us out here. We've got another 4. So excellent. That kind of gives me an idea of where we are. So I am going to give you a little bit of background to it. And I've got a handout for you as well that I think might be very useful. And I want us to have a discussion around the catalyzing change it was written for pre-K through 12, but it has serious implications if we're thinking about two-year colleges and what our role is in that. And I say our because I mentioned I actually graduated from a two-year college and had a fabulous experience, great mathematics, and it was just a wonderful opportunity for me. And I'm very thankful for that opportunity. We're also going to talk a little bit about some current and potential partnerships, challenges, opportunities, and we're even going to kind of commit to some next steps that we might have as well. So the first thing I want to do is I want you to go to menti.com, menti.com, if you don't mind, and enter this code. It should work. And what I want you to do is just share with us who are your partners in education. You can enter up to 3 words and then you can re-enter. You can respond more than once. Typically, though, if you have to use more than one word, sometimes you have to put a hyphen in between because it might not take a long phrase. It just depends. NCTM, thank you, stands for the National Council of Teachers of Mathematics. And I'm the president of the National Council of Teachers of Mathematics. We are, thank you, Keith. It's a national organization of about 30,000 members across the U.S. and Canada. And actually, we have international members as well. All right. So if you'll go to menti.com and type in the 2390064. And I am actually, going to share that screen with you. Here it is. And here we go. This is what y'all, there you go.
We're seeing your desktop. Okay.
No, no problem. You see my desktop, but I can fix that. I have to go down here. I got multiple screens going on. It's kind of craziness.
There you go.
All right. There you go. Now you can see it, right? Ooh, you can also see that.
Yep.
All right. So look at this. Like, who are your partners? What do you wonder? What do you notice? We often ask that in mathematics. So you'll see students are like front and center, and that's amazing. Remember, you can re-enter. So if you see something that you agree with or is really a partner for you as well, you can re-enter that. And of course, it makes it a larger possibility as well. So students, colleagues, universities, industry, K-12. One of the beauties of these, and some of you are specific, you know, the Dearborn. So you can be specific, Texas A&M, you've got universities, other faculty. All right. Excellent. Ford Motor Company. So you're talking about a particular company, industry, publishers, Amatic. Excellent. Amatic will be excited that you put them as a partner because they are. But look at this. Students are still like the center of this. But we have partners everywhere. And one of the things about this visual that you see as well, you might put in the chat box some of the things that you notice. What do you notice about this? Or maybe even wonder, you know, who's missing from it might be another one. So I shared that students are front and center, but what is else something that you might notice if you can pop it in the chat box or that you wonder about? Anybody got an idea or a thought? Parents. Now there's an interesting one. That's interesting. And when you think about it at two-year colleges, that's an interesting dynamic to think about. And family, administrators, researchers, look at this. People that are missing from this. So that's powerful to think about. And the people that you've listed that didn't quite show up in this are definitely our partners. Yeah, I'm glad too, Andrew, to see the K-12 and high school because they are publishers. I saw it as a little bitty word. And one of the other things is some of the smaller words also indicate to us that there are a lot of different partners, legislators for certain, for certain. All right. So I'm going to go back, if all goes well, I'm going to go back to sharing my, there you go. So we should be back to the slides now. So thank y'all so much for doing that. All right. So questions we're going to look at is, you know, what are implications for students and faculty in, into your colleges when we think about this catalyzing change? Thank you for putting that in, Heiko. What partnerships can we develop and you know, enact a shared vision? And then what are the kinds of next steps, you know, that we want to do? So catalyzing change, just to give you a very quick overview, is in 2018, NCTM launched Catalyzing Change for high school, and it's initiating critical conversation. It laid out four recommendations, and I'm going to talk about those in just a minute. But in addition to that, after that was done and people started having these conversations that were very critical and very important to have, it made us also think about, well, if you're going to want these particular kinds of recommendations at high school, then what do we need to be doing at early childhood and elementary and middle school that feed into those kinds of changes that you're talking about? And for us to think about today is what are the implications for two-year colleges as our students finish in their high school, you know, years, then they do post high school, and it comes in different forms, one of which a major player are 2 years college. And not only that, 2 year colleges also play a role within the high school because many people have shared courses that they do in credits. So at nctm.org/change, there's other information about infographics. There are some resource guides that you see on the side that those actually have to be purchased. But there are also case studies. People want to know, well, what does this look like? So we're beginning to add case studies. And we're adding more and more. There's some webinars about these. There are book study guides because there are a lot of people wanting to have book studies because I think a powerful book study would be for a group in AMATIC, or a group around second-year colleges to have a conversation around what are the implications. If this kind of recommendation comes to fruition, then what's the role of two-year colleges in this? And then there's some position statements also you'll see, and we keep you updating that site. Just very quickly, knowing that in 1989, so you're starting over here with the gray document, is when we first saw standards for mathematics begin, and then they've gone through in 2000, you've got this iteration, principles and standards, and then NCTM, the National Council of Teachers of Mathematics, then eventually they did something very specific for K-8, for high school. And then in 2010, even though they'd done them in 1989 and in 2000, they decided not to update because in 2010 is when Common Core came out and we didn't need competing standards and competing focus. So instead, NCTM worked to support teachers in acting the curriculum. And then that brought us to Principles to Action, which some of you may be familiar with because AMATIC actually uses a portion of this as well because it has 8 effective teaching practices in it that they highlight as well. And then we had this document where we shared a little bit more in detail about the kinds of things that these effective teaching practices might do. And of course, overlaid this with STEM. So we look at ideas about, you know, why catalyzing change and why now. And if you have not looked at it, I would encourage you to look at the latest NAEP scores. The 2019 just came out for high school for this grade 12. The 4 and 8 had already come out earlier, but now 12 is out. And bottom line, in mathematics, we're not making any progress. And in fact, we've become sort of stagnant. When you look at the scores that way, we're sort of stagnant. But the other piece that happened is that the lower quartile grew, okay? It just so happened the upper grew a little bit as well. And so it ended up sort of offsetting, but that's a real concern, all right? And if we go a little bit further, we all like graphs and such. I thought I would share this one with you. And you can see that in 2005, now I will tell you that from 1990 to 2005, we saw increases. So we've been increasing. And then for like the last 5 to 10 years, we've become sort of stagnant. And in fact, we came down a couple of points, not significant, but we did come down. This particular sharing, I think, is what's really significant as well, because this shows us that, and the data shows that while we've narrowed some of the gaps in some of the subgroups, they're in no way everyone having equitable access to mathematics. So we have a lot of work still left to do. And NCTM felt like one of the ways we need to do that is we need to think more. It's more than just the standards and the curriculum. It's more than just effective teaching practices. It's many more things than that that are going to get us to the next level, okay? So that's important for us to think about. And again, this is just showing the disparities among subgroups. And we have not improved. We've improved, but not to the degree that we should. Okay. So, and for those of you who want to study the graph, certainly go to the NAEP website. And also this PowerPoint will be available too for you to study it a bit more, because I know that was fast. Just to give you a couple of other points about, you know, why we need catalyzing change, it's important for us to, as I mentioned, the disparities that still exist. That's really important for us to think about. And I think this second one, I know that we're, you know, in higher ed, most of us are in two-year colleges or technical schools, but I think number two is really important. The reason that NCTM needed to go back to pre-K and not just even middle school and not just elementary, but to go all the way to early childhood. And the reason is because kindergarten and first grade are actually a strong predictor of later mathematical success. Now that is powerful. That is powerful. So it matters at all grade levels what we're doing. And then also with this focus on STEM in the future with so many careers, not all, but so many careers being in STEM, we need to make sure our students are prepared for it. And the last one is the biggest concern. We don't talk about the learning gaps. What there are there opportunity gaps. We need to think about actions we need to take in order for all students to have access. Okay, so conversation starter, pop this in the chat box if you don't mind. So when you think about your own work that you do, and you listed off a number of different areas that you all come from, so what are some effective strategies or approaches or initiatives or programs or projects? What are some things that you're doing that you think are really helping students to be successful in two-year colleges, things that you are engaged in? So what is already being very successful for you? So share some of your ideas. And I know it takes a little bit of time to write. Here we go. Getting involved on campus. Exactly. Supplemental instruction, collaboration. Yes. Yeah. Finding out what the math is that they really need and the different pathways. Now that's important as well too. Contextualized problems, student interest, advising. Polling students on their knowledge. In other words, beginning where students are, what they do know, and understanding they come with a lot of experience and knowledge. Oh, we've got a prowess grant from NSF. Actually, that's wonderful. Embedded tutors, right? Engagement. Multiple measures. This idea of placement is an issue to think about. You know, how are students placed and why? All right. We've got video support. Okay. There you go. Writing and research component. That's an interesting. I love that. I love that. Yeah, wrong answers, mistakes or progress. If you're not making mistakes, I've got one colleague that says, if you're not making mistakes, you are not engaged enough, okay? Because you need, that helps us to grow. And another about the placement. Thank you all for sharing that. So there are many, many things that are going on that are helping our students to be successful. So in this NCTM initiative, there are four recommendations. One of them is to broaden the purposes of mathematics. One is to create equitable structures in mathematics, in teaching mathematics, and then implementing equitable mathematics instruction, and then developing mathematical understanding. So these four are the keystones for the four. Now here's where there's a handout. And so Michelle, if you don't mind popping in that tiny URL, it is actually on the AMATIC website that you can download for this session, but you can also use this tiny URL and use it as well. And I think this would be powerful for you to think about, because there's no way for us to deconstruct all these, but here's why I wanted you to see this handout. This particular handout, all four of those recommendations, as far as the broad topic, cut across pre-K through 12. They have some different nuances at the grade band, early childhood and elementary, middle school, and high school. And what I want you to do is think about, okay, so what are the implications for two-year colleges? Okay, what are the implications? And in this aspect, it's important to look across them. And we're going to kind of look at a little bit. We just don't have time to deconstruct them all, but a little bit more. So the first one on broadening the purposes of learning mathematics. And if you can download that, then you know you can read a little bit more about it. So this was the first one. And you'll notice here are the three across the grade bands. And what I'd like for you to share, we can't do breakout rooms, but I do have a Google Doc if you want to share it there. And I think Michelle's got the link to that. It is a Google Doc for you to be able to record if you would like, or you can certainly put it in the chat box as well. But if we put it in the Google Doc, then I can upload it in the system later so that everyone has these ideas. So what is either short-term, like things that you can do like right now, or long-term work that needs to be done in our work, in whatever work you're doing, toward achieving this vision of broadening the purposes of learning mathematics? Like, why do we learn mathematics? And you'll notice that within this, it talks about each and every child needs to have deep understanding of mathematics. We need to make sure that they can understand and critique their world now more than ever. And my favorite part is experience the wonder, joy, and beauty of mathematics and developing that positive math identity. So many of our students oftentimes come to us with very negative attitudes about mathematics. All right. So if you will go to that Google Doc, or you can put it in the chat box, but if you go to the Google Doc, then we will be able to collect those and share them with everybody. And if all goes well, I'm going to, here it is, I think it is. All right, here we go. We've got people going in, changing assessments to include. That's interesting, okay. Yes, students need to be doers of mathematics. One of the big sayings that I use a lot when I talk about this is we want them to be thinkers and doers of mathematics, okay. Having them explain why what they're doing. So having that conversation, and it's challenging in the environment we're in now, but teachers are working to have ways for students to be able to still be engaged at that level of sharing and explaining. All right, so thank you. Yeah, start with a broader understanding of how and why mathematics, that's right. And not limiting what mathematics is, okay? Yeah, non-STEM students need the opportunity. That's right. They need the mathematics. And like I said, one of my favorite parts is that wonder, joy, and beauty. All right. I love the exploration part, starting with that. And see, some of these are things that you can do right now. I mean, they're things that you could implement tomorrow if you were teaching. But also think in terms of what are long-term things that would take longer to do. I know somebody mentioned that they're involved in a grant. And those are long-term kinds of things, okay? Thinking broadly about communities, I love that. Opportunities for reflection, open-ended questions. I love the non-Googleable. Somebody asked me, well, you can't ask thus and so because they can just Google that. I said, okay, so it changes what you ask. It changes what you do. It changes how you ask it. Yes, and thank you, Judy. Meaningful reinforcement, giving that kind of feedback is really important. Yeah, convincing students there's no math in. And there are actually people who do believe that some people are just sort of born with it. And, you know, granted, there's probably some mathematics that I'm not going to do. I took doctoral level mathematics, but there was a time when I thought, you know, I think this is where I'm going to end right here. Probably if I'd really wanted to, I would have just continued on, but I did what I wanted to do and moved on to other things. And I think students need open pathways, and they don't get those if we stop their learning too quickly, okay? I love it. Y'all got great things. So continue to add to that as you see fit. Okay. If you think of more things, continue on with it. All right. All right. So moving along a little bit, just to kind of keep giving you this overview. Second recommendation has to do with creating equitable structures in mathematics. All right. And by structures, we're talking about things like in elementary school, we have a lot of ability grouping and tracking, especially at middle school and high school. And students, if they are tracked early, like in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, and if they're tracked in a way that, quote, they're in a lower track, which we try not to use that term, but that's what many use. And when they do, many of them are never able to get out of that because they don't have the same opportunities. They don't have the same expectations. And what we're finding, there's more and more research that shows that students need access, and they all need access to powerful mathematics and opportunities to learn it. But the key is we need supports in it. And you know this, many of you have already mentioned the kinds of supports that you offer it to your colleges to help undergird students to be successful in the classroom. And there are different ways that we need to teach and different kinds of supports that we need, different instructional strategies. And the question, and you're certainly welcome to answer this in the chat box if you're interested, is, you know, what happens with students who have been consistently in what we call lower tracks in pre-K through 12? So when they leave high school, what happens? Well, they don't place well, right? Oh yeah, tracking teachers. One of the things that happens in middle school and high school is the top teachers, the more experienced teachers, the best teachers get the top students. Okay. Or it's just an interesting thing when you think about tracking teachers. There's not a sharing of everyone teaching powerful mathematics to all students. So there's some work in that. I would encourage you to read a little bit more about that, because it is an interesting issue to think about, of tracking teachers. Okay. I can remember when I was teaching high school, a new teacher would come in and they'd say, oh, well, we're going to give the new teacher six sections of ninth grade algebra one. Now, I love teaching algebra one. It was great. But it's very difficult to teach that one thing all day long to the same students. And it's empowering to be able to use that experience that you have in lots of ways. And I'll tell you another thing. What really helped me was when I taught other things, like when I taught algebra two, I go, okay, so now that's why that was so important in algebra one. And that's how it fit with geometry. Same thing when I taught calculus or advanced math, I had a better understanding. So this was one of the things that happened. We need to really provide each and every student with access to grade appropriate, intellectually challenging work. We need to provide ongoing professional development, and we need to provide time and space for educators to collaborate. Oh, that's interesting, Nicole. Thank you for sharing that. All right. Okay. So moving along a little bit. So I want to share some things connect to AMATIC in particular. So I want to share a couple of things that I think you might find interesting, and I'd love for you to comment on these as you see fit. AMATIC has a position statement on student success. The bullets that you see on there are just sort of a summary of some of the key points. It's not everything, because there wasn't room to put them all, but they're actually about 13 different items on that. But they talk about emphasizing an early start to study. So they said minimize the time lapse between mathematics courses and college studies and emphasize an early start to these studies. So I have students when they are in college, they'll put off taking the mathematics. They'll put it off till, you know, their junior, senior year. And then what happens is they're very far removed from the mathematics that they had done previously. So that's one of the things. I saw this in high school as well. I'd have students that say, well, I will take, you know, I'll take math my freshman, sophomore, junior year, but I'm going to take my senior year off and not do anything. And then there's this huge gap between that and when they do the mathematics when they go on to college, be it 2 year, 4 year, or technical school, whatever it is they decide to do. So we need to work on emphasizing an early start so there's more and better connections. The second one is emphasizing the importance of number sense and computational fluency, especially with rational numbers and how powerful that is. And I say that because it doesn't say fractions. And that is what I think is one of the key things that my students in high school had difficulty with rational functions, because they didn't understand fractions. So that is a pre-K through 12 area that we all need to work on, so that they have a better understanding of rational numbers. The third one was stressing the benefits of review and implement review modules prior to placement assessments. Now that's interesting. AMATIC is talking about, we're talking about placement tests, but this is thinking about how do we support students in just kind of reviewing in order to be ready for a placement test. Another one is implement instruction of the attribute of study skills, such as time management and motivation. Increase mathematics self-efficacy to reduce math anxiety, because we know that's a real thing. Offer support systems to students to create social relationships, clarify goals, increase commitment. Somebody mentioned that earlier, that, you know, just the going to college and what a transition that is for many students, and supporting them. Prioritize the curriculum, the ability to solve problems, and even to read mathematics. I have students that have difficulty reading mathematics. Emphasize and assess balance of both conceptual and procedural. Both are essential. Support risk-taking. Remember the comment that was made earlier about making mistakes? Support that. Make it so that it's a good thing, not a negative, that we can learn from that, okay? Frequent assessments, self-assessments, reflection. And somebody mentioned that as well, the reflection. Fostering a growth mindset. We've read about things about that. Accentuating the value of class attendance in maximizing student achievement. And what a challenge that is right now in the virtual world, is making sure that students understand how valuable that class time together is. But then that means the class time has to be designed so that it's valuable to be together. And then the last one is bridging the gap for underrepresented student populations, because remember me sharing that that's still a major gap that we have. There is a disparity in the privilege that students have in accessing the mathematics. So When we think about it in our two-year college area, what kinds of structures are in place that do or do not create the equitable kinds of opportunities for our math students? Are there structures in two-year colleges that keep us from, you know, keep some students from having the kinds of successes that they need to have? So, you know, we talked about tracking in high school, and they're different. There's more to it than that. There's things about pathways and things like that in high school that we're thinking about as well. But it makes you think about in college, you know, what are some structures, which ones really support and which ones really are holding students back or not giving them the opportunities they need. So the third one has to do with mathematical instruction and effective kinds of opportunities that we have. And this is why the partners were important. The kind of instruction that really fosters a positive math identity, that helps students to be successful, that provides equitable opportunities. And notice the question, you know, what kind of partnerships should be fostered for educators' professional learning, for our own learning as instructors to strengthen our understanding of mathematics and equitable mathematics teaching practices? You know, what do we need in order for us to be better at this? I mentioned earlier, we want our students to be thinkers and doers, right? Whatever the environment is, especially in these unprecedented times. And we want to move from deficit views to asset views. So do your students, you think about your own, do your students see themselves as mathematically capable? So when they come to you, do they feel like they can do the mathematics? Second question. Do your colleagues see all students as doers of mathematics? Please don't name names, all right? But think about that. Do the colleagues that you work with, does your department, mathematics education, whatever it is, the department that you're in, technical, do they really believe all students can do mathematics? And I will tell you that all do not believe that students can do mathematics. I've had interactions recently with some that really don't believe that students can. Okay, and you may be among that. You may not believe that all students can. And then I thought I'd ask you to reflect on this one. So first one was, do your students see themselves as mathematically capable? Second one is, do your colleagues see the students as doers of mathematics? And the third one is, do you see yourself as a doer of mathematics, as someone that's mathematically capable? Do you see yourself that way? All right. So maybe it's time that we do some our own self-reflection. And if we don't, all right, then how do we develop these partnerships? What do we need in order for our professional learning community to move forward and understand this better? And I would tell you that one course that I never taught in high school and never have taught in college is statistics. And that has to be among the most valuable mathematical areas, the statistical reasoning now. It is essential that we have statistical reasoning and powerful statistical reasoning. And I will tell you that if I had to teach it on a day-to-day basis, I would need a lot of professional development. I would need a support group. I would need help to make sure, because I don't have the confidence in it that I have, say, when I taught calculus, okay? All right, so just something to think about, okay? All right, second position statement, this is the last one that I wanted to share from AMATIC, is this fostering learning. They have one on the position of fostering learning, and it talks a lot about things y'all have mentioned, collaborative learning and how important that is, professional development opportunities, the culture of high expectations, and the use of both formative and summative assessments, how powerful that is. So I would encourage you to look at that particular position statement from AMATIC. It's very powerful. It talks about learners should work in communities or teams to increase their knowledge and their learning skills and be able to collaborate and cooperate. Educators should be, you know, provided with opportunities for professional growth. We need to grow as well. Institutions need to promote exemplary learning experiences and that culture of high expectations. And I will say they pointed to a study, Sachs and Brady, that shared that multiple organizations, including MAA, AMATIC, AMS, ASA, SIAM, they have collectively declared that the status quo with respect to undergraduate mathematics education is unacceptable and it must change. And so It's already changing. I will tell you that. I was at A-Matic last year and maybe the year before, but last year for sure. And it is so powerful, the wonderful things that you, that A-Matic and the different members are doing. It is so powerful. And one of those things, I've heard many of them talk about the eight effective practices that have been embraced, and that looking at what does this look like at a two-year college? What does it look like when we're doing this with students that come in a variety of different levels, that have a variety of different learning opportunity gaps in their past? And how do we build on what they do know? And these are ways that we can do this. And it was so powerful to see you all talk about this in the chat box. Okay. So speaking of the chat box, all right. Oh, I forgot. I got one more recommendation. Hang with me just another minute. In the last recommendation, this is about developing deep mathematical understanding. And I know all of you that are here, this is very important to you. You want your students to develop a strong, strong mathematical understanding. And around not only content, but also the mathematical processes like problem solving, perseverance, et cetera, the content I already mentioned. But you also want them to develop a number of different ideas about thinking about their pathways. What is their future like? What are they preparing for? And I think that it's important for us to think about these pathways. And I will tell you that right now there are a number of states that are rethinking their high school pathways. And one of the things that I keep bringing up when I hear about this is that that conversation is not to be had just at high school at the state level. It needs to be happening with our two-year and four-year institutions, because if you change things in the high school pathways, like different kinds of courses, different expectations, different kinds of namings of courses even, then this has implications to when you go to college, what is accepted and what are the requirements. And so I think that conversation, that's a partnership we need. Pre-K through 12 needs to be actually working with 2 and 4 year colleges. And I know from the chat box, some of you are already doing this. You're already seeing them as partners in what you do. So again, these are the 4 recommendations. Look at that handout for more detail, a little bit more detail. You can go to that website and I'll give you some more resources in a minute. But I want to have our last couple of minutes here for you a chance to reflect on what you've heard so far. Yes, exactly, Karen. Changing the status quo was a spotlight on my NCTM for August. That's outstanding. So one of the things that I want you to do is I want you to think about for yourself in your situation, whatever your partnerships are, whatever your role is, and there were a variety of different roles, is to think about what will be your next steps. So in your role in to your colleges, what will be your next steps when you're thinking about this powerful kind of mathematical experience for each and every student that comes your way? And not only what will be your next steps, maybe you'll think about what will be our next steps. What about A-Matic as an organization? What about partnering? Because many of you talked about that. And who do we need to develop these partnerships with? So Michelle, if you will pop in the chat box, the Jamboard. And again, I'm gonna give you Jamboard so that we can collect it and then I can post it for everybody to see. Thank you. And if we do that, then I can share that with everyone, all right? But if you'll take a minute to reflect and to think about what are some concrete kinds of next steps that you want to do, or maybe that you would like to see A-Matic do as an organization, or you would like to see in any number of different ways that you might want to look at it, okay? And I'm going to bring up, All right, hang on a minute. I will bring up the Jamboard. And you certainly, if you can't get to the Jamboard, you can certainly, there we go, it's popping up now. I know you can only have 30 or 40 at a time, so just be thinking about, all right? And Jamboard, if you're not familiar with it, over on the side, there's a little, it says a sticky note. It's a little rectangular thing. If you click on it, then it pops a sticky note in it. And then you can type in it and you can change the color of it. And then you can save it. Okay. And then it will pop up and you can move them around if they get, there we go. Focus more on posts. There we go. And I can, sometimes they get, there we go. They kind of get popped on top of each other. You can move them around. I love it. All right. So what are your next steps? Some professional development, flipped classrooms for online students. That's another whole challenge that we have right now. Redesigning my classroom. And I had a teacher who did that. She really believed, she finally decided she had a basic kind of geometry class and a, you know, college prep one. And she decided they could all do the geometry. And she just did some research of her own to figure out how did she need to meet their needs. All right. So curriculum. Lots of that. And that is a big thing, is what is the most important thing to teach now? Co-requisites. That's right. Co-requisites, prerequisites. You know, how does that flow work? Okay. Transfer students. That, and I will tell you that I teach at Baylor, and we have a partnership with MCC, McClellan County Community College here, because of that, that transfer, to support them so that they are taking, you know, and doing the kinds of things at their first 2 years at MCC that will definitely transfer and support when they move on to Baylor, and then helping them in that transition to the four-year college. I love it. Talk more about the how and why. I love this. Contextualized problems. All right. PD. Oh, there you go. I love the super conference. We could get them all together, right? I love that. So that we're all talking about these things, okay? Oh, history of math, social justice, so important, okay? I love it. So you, again, as you think of them, pop them in here, and I will save this at the end, and I'll upload it to the website. All right, just to kind of finish up, just a couple of more things. Let's see. I also got to bring my chat box back. I closed it because some of you may have put things there. Okay. Oh, no, y'all are just using the Jamboard. Great. Thank you. Thank you so much for doing that. All right. Let me get my tools together here. So in the Catalyzing Change series, it does offer some different kinds of steps. And I kind of tried to think through these about how they would apply to 2 and 4 year colleges as well. So the first one is a strong partnership in equitable math instruction. And I love that idea of like a power conference, you know, one where we bring all these partners in. Looking at systemic policies and practices and procedures that restrict access. So at your particular institutions, really looking at, are there things that we're doing that we think are really great, but they're really inhibiting instead of supporting, okay? Or maybe there are things that really are supporting, but we need to elevate those. Provide opportunities, time, and space for colleagues to collaboratively plan. Is that built in a way that that can be done? How do we do that? Consistently implementing research-informed, equity-based instructional practices, designing collaborative research. I think that's a powerful thing. How do we know what we're doing is actually working? Okay. And then supporting us as instructors to do inquiry on our own teaching. Okay. And how do they support us? Here are even some more, talking about the pathways, the curriculum, working with in-service and pre-service teachers. What's the role of AMATIC and two-year colleges in that? That's important. Working with schools and school districts in your area and collaborating, and look at the list, thinking about our partners, right?
Just a quick note, Trina, that we're at 3:45.
Right. Well, I have 1 minute, right? No?
Yep, oh, you can take a minute.
I'm sorry. We started a little bit late. I was using my timer.
Oh.
I forgot about that. Okay, I'm almost done. Closing comment. Notice that in the end, when we do this, it will definitely be worth it. Definitely. I've already mentioned Catalyzing Change. There are some webinars if you want more detail about these. All right. And that is it. And Michelle, were there any Q&A that came up? We addressed things that kind of as we went, so I don't know if there were any quick ones.
There was a question about how NCTM is addressing the current prevalence and usage of students of online math using solving tools like Chegg.
Yeah, one of the things that I know that some are using is that idea of changing the kind of question that we're asking. And there are some challenges. I don't know particularly about that particular one, but I do know that that's one of the things we've been talking about, is just getting teachers to think about what you're asking, and in getting ways that students have to collaborate in other ways so that they're not just getting their work done by others. So, all right. But thank you all so much. And there's my email if you have any questions or ideas on how we need to move forward. Thank you all.
And just so everybody knows, the scavenger hunt is still open, and there's still a chance to win. And then Nerd Quest is going to be happening at 4 o'clock in just 14 minutes. And there'll be a trivia contest and even more opportunities to win. So thank you so much, Trina. And thank you to everyone for joining.
Bye.
Bye.
Michelle, don't shut down just a minute. Hang on 1 second. Yeah, I forgot that we waited a couple of minutes. All right, I'm done. I wanted to save the chat in case there were a couple of things in it that I needed to remember.
Oh, okay.
All right. Michelle, thanks so much for being there to pop stuff in. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Thank you. You did a great job.
Thank you. I talk very fast. Oh, they wanted the scavenger hunt link. Do you have that? I don't know.
Oh, the scavenger hunt is in the app.
It's in the app? Okay. All right. Good deal. There you go.
Everyone.
And Michelle, do you know how many people we had total? I forgot to look. It was in the...
I think at one point we were at 104.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
You too.